Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI for Friday, November 2nd, 2012. It is All Souls Day, a.k.a. Day of the Dead, a time to reflect on friends and family who have departed this world. Hope you are having a great day. Looking forward to a good weekend. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thanks for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We're live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We're streaming our show live on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We have the program available for you anytime, anywhere. You can listen to it at buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, tucsonsentinel.com. The show is posted to all three of those sites, and now we have links to the show at the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun website. Their homepage is gvnews.com, and there's a link to the show on the homepage prominently displayed at blogforarizona.com. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Mr. Chuck Huckleberry. He's administrator for Pima County. Joining me in studio with Mr. Huckleberry, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editor. Editorial writer for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a comment or question, you can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can also look at our Facebook page, which is Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Our wonderful producer, Rosemary Brandt, will be monitoring the Facebook page over the next half hour. So if you have a question, you can shoot us the question on Facebook. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendid at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Sarah, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Mr. Huckleberry, Chuck, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be here, Bill.
Let's begin with the two Pima County early ballots that apparently were falsified. They were sent in. The good news out of all of this, the system appears to have worked.
Well, it did. The signature verification process is one that's gone through manually by staff at the recorder's office. And if that signature's on file, it doesn't resemble or for some reason does not look like the other signature, the voter gets a call. And in this particular case, someone had forged at least two signatures on early ballots. So that process does, in fact, work.
Pima County was in court yesterday on a lawsuit that was filed demanding changes to the county's election process. Among the plaintiffs in the case, the Republican candidate in Pima County in the recorder's race, Bill Beard. We had a question from one of our Facebook friends, Mr. Huckleberry, saying that this person was very disturbed. She had heard Pima County has spent $2 million of taxpayer money fighting these various lawsuits.
Bill, I don't think it's that much. I think the most that's been spent is probably about $500,000 to $600,000, and that's on the RTA litigation that's
which
been
goes
going
back to like
going to 2006. And I think it's really unfortunate, but we were the ones sued, and so we had to defend the process. And in doing so, those were the costs that were incurred. And attorney's fees that had been paid. In that particular case, it's about over. We're about to drive a wooden stake through the heart of that case in Superior Court because it's been appealed a number of times. But the proof is in the actual count. The attorney general took custody of all those ballots in a criminal investigation, and they manually recounted every RTA ballot. And the answer came out the same. There was no fraud. And they're frankly, it was I don't know what it was, but it was something that obviously did not happen.
Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson.
I wanted to ask, as we head into, to Election Day on Tuesday, the polls open at 6 a.m. They close at 7 p.m. And nationally, there's been a lot of coverage of different groups' efforts to go to the polls, perhaps challenge voters, things like there's a lot of questions about whether people will be able to vote in a way that's uninterrupted by, you know, people who are trying to observe the election. Do you have any suggestions or advice for what is allowed and then what a voter should do if someone tries to interfere with your right to vote?
Well, two things. One, there are very specific rules and limits. For example, the 75-foot limit with regard to campaigning within a polling place. Now, people can continue to, you know, there used to be some issues with regard to what people wore. That's no longer an issue. If people feel intimidated at all in voting, they ought to contact the person who's in charge of that polling place and report it. Because there are teams from the Department of Justice here in Tucson with regard to voting and voting rights and making sure that people and voters are not intimidated at the polls. And so we need to know about it. They need to report that directly to the person in charge of that polling place, who's usually the judge. And then the appropriate authorities will be contacted, including the Department of Justice and the county attorney.
Do you expect long lines on Tuesday?
I don't think so. What we're seeing is in this early voting transition is that most of the votes that will be counted in this election have probably already been cast. When we look at early voting in the primary this year, 81% of all votes cast were early votes, and so that meant 19% of the votes were cast at the polls. So typically, we don't see many lines at all in polling places at all anymore simply because of that phenomenon.
12:11 on the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Huckleberry, if you'd slip on this headset so we'll be able now to go to the Buckmaster Show live line and hear from Robert. Go ahead, Robert. You're with Chuck Huckleberry.
Good morning, everybody. Mr. Huckleberry, the reason I'm calling is I live in an area that is in the county. I live on Firethorn Avenue, close to McGee and Thornydale. And my street, to be honest with you, looks like a war zone. Huge potholes, all of the drips and drabs from all the times the cracks have been repaired, but the road's never been fixed like it should be. And you basically have to drive around these potholes or you're going to damage your car. And what I hear is that, you know, our bond debt is three times the size of all of the other counties in the state. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but if I paid that much, you know, and the debt is that high, how come my street's not fixed? That's what I'd like to know.
Thank you, Robert.
Sure, Robert. A couple of issues. First, the county uses something called highway user revenue funds, which are gas taxes. And as you probably know, the vehicle fuel efficiency is going up greatly. Therefore, those revenues are stagnant or declining. The state of Arizona has swept money to balance their own budget out of those accounts. We are, in fact, reinvesting, however, in our streets and highways. We just completed a $15 million improvement to surfaces of these streets, including local streets. We're putting another $5 million in probably in the next 90 days, and sometime in early 13 to mid-13, we're going to probably have a program for another $23 million of investment. So we're catching up rapidly. My guess is your streets are going to be resurfaced in that time frame because the county will have collectively invested over $60 million in street repair and maintenance. And, you know, we understand the issue, and we're going to fix it.
Yeah, I think Robert is not alone. And I will say that our area in Fletcher, Caeta in the foothills, in about 25 years that we have lived in that area, there has never been a complete chip seal done. And about a week or so ago, I tell you, everybody on the street, first they were very upset, you know, because it's messy, the first coat or two that they put down. But right now, folks are very pleased on my street that we've got that down.
We're beginning to make some progress and show some improvement, and we want to basically continue that, and we're going to do it.
Okay, here's Sarah before we take the break.
I just wanted to ask for clarity's sake, Proposition 409 is the city road bond package that voters in the city of Tucson will have on their ballots. Can you explain a little bit about if that passes or fails, what effect, if any, it'll have on what the county does?
A very little. It's a proposition that was placed on the ballot by the city council. They're going to use what's called general obligation bonding or property tax bonding on city residents to pay for it. Their streets are bad or worse than anybody else's, and I think that proposition deserves to be passed because there are very few alternatives available to fix their streets, and we need to do that. It will have no effect at all on the county. We are continuing to make our investments, and we make our investments on an incremental basis, and we're going to continue it every year for probably the next 5 to 10 years.
Coming up now on 12:15, Rose, I think this would be a good time to take a break with Mr. Huckleberry. When we come back with Chuck, we will talk about the $197 million Pima County jobs plan. We'll talk about job growth and what can be done to stimulate job growth here when we continue on the Friday Focus on The Buckmaster Show.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at about 12:18 on this Friday afternoon, November the 2nd. Chuck Huckleberry is with me in studio, as is Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. And before we, Sarah and I, resume the questioning, let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. And I think we have another road question for you, Mr. Huckleberry. Robert is with us on the show. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, this is Roger.
Oh, I'm sorry, Roger. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just got a question for Chuck. With $39 million the state gives to us every year to be used solely for repairing roads, How come we allow for the theft of $30 million of that to be given to pet projects like SunTran, other supporters and donors to the people in power, and take that money away from the roads? And then they cry they're broke and they don't have money to fix roads. If they applied the money that is supposed to be applied to repairing roads, the $39 million, we wouldn't need Prop whatever to bring in more money. We have the choo-choo going up down there that could build a lot of roads.
Okay.
We have police force cut in Tucson.
All right.
And Pima County's a total mess in supporting these.
Okay, thank you,
Roger. Let me clarify the fact that whoever told you that's wrong. All that money doesn't go to maintain roads. It goes to operate an entire transportation system. That means basically building new roads, maintaining old roads, operating a transit system, operating a signal system, and everything else that's related to transportation. That's how every city and town in the state operates their transportation agencies. That's how every county in the state operates its transportation agency. So what's left over for road maintenance is, basically what's left over, and it's not adequate. And what we need to do at this state is really have a frank conversation about rebasing our transportation revenue system.
I want to talk a little bit about your op-ed piece in the Arizona Daily Star a week or so ago. The Board of Supervisors in mid-November will get an economic development action plan that will be, it's a $197 million plan aimed at, well, producing jobs.
One of the components is talking about investing in the community. One of the things that we found that all successful communities do is they invest in themselves and they invest in job development and creation. And this is one component of the plan. We have a lot of others, but frankly, it's hard as in community investment and dealing with trying to protect our existing employers, such as Raytheon and Davis-Monthan Air Force Base and our 162nd Fighter Wing at the Air National Guard. Being able to attract new businesses like we're doing every day, recently with Accelerate New Biosciences, trying to rebuild our tourism industry that was devastated because of a lot of issues dealing mostly with Mexico and the national recession. We've talked a lot about trying to be business friendly and how to basically create opportunities for business, particularly small business, reduce regulatory impacts on businesses and take those things and burdens off their back. So what we're really trying to do, and we're calling an action plan. This is not, this general strategic plan with platitudes about what we might do in 20 years. This is what we have to do in the next year or two to really get jobs accelerated back into this community and the type of jobs we want in aerospace, in defense, intellectual type jobs, jobs that basically bring in a higher than median wage. So that we can get the community back in a job growth position.
Okay, here's Sarah Garagason.
When you're talking about jobs that are on the higher end, of income, do you have a sense of whether there are people living in the Pima County, Tucson area who could take those jobs? They have the education level to do that? Or are these the sort of things where, yes, the companies may come, but they're going to be hiring people from all over because Arizona doesn't have the infrastructure educationally to provide the employees that the employers need?
Time and again, when we deal with employers who are thinking about moving to Pima County, one of the attractive factors is that we do have a well-trained workforce that they can fill those positions with. That is one of the attractors that brings new businesses to this community. We have a world-class research university that sits in the middle of the community. It produces a lot of graduates, and unfortunately, a lot of them have to leave. But if we had higher tech employers, they'd stay here. And I think that our existing employment base has the opportunity at job retraining and job development because the county operates workforce investment centers and the community colleges that are there to basically have existing employees get better skills to take these higher paying jobs, and that's what we want.
Do you want to comment on the state jobs report today that is just out saying that we will be lagging behind Phoenix? Our job growth in 2013 is going to be anemic at best, according to the economic forecasters with the state.
One of the facts that we have to always face is that we're not the capital of the state of Arizona, which is Maricopa County and Phoenix, and they have 3 and 4 million people versus we have 1 million. And so we're always at a disadvantage when competing with Maricopa County and our capital. What we do know is that very often these job numbers are misleading, because what happens is that a company that has a headquarters out of state or in another location reports those jobs through the capital, through the capital of that state. In this case, it's Phoenix and Maricopa County. We've been pummeled with this big theory that so many thousand jobs, 69,000 were created in the state and only 800 in Pima County. Well, that turned out to be wrong. In Marshall Vest's analysis, June to June of 11 to 12, there were 57,000 jobs in the state and 4,400 of them in Pima County. So we always have to be careful when we're dealing with numbers, but we know we can do better and we should do better.
Let's try to get Doug in right now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Doug. You were Chuck Huckleberry.
Yes, hi, Mr. Huckleberry. I first wanted to say that I've heard good things about you in terms of, I know you're a very smart man. In fact, one guy told me that if you were asked what the paint color was in the second floor of the building, you would know what that is. So I don't think there's any question about that. My question would be about, do you think the county has had the right priorities? You mentioned earlier about the roads and the HERF funding. I know that's been cut short recently, but, you know, as Bill said, for 25 years, his roads hadn't been touched yet. We built bike paths, and we've done a lot of open space that doesn't really even seem to be contiguous with the city or surround the city. And I know some of that's bond money and things, but could you speak to that? Do you think that our priorities have been in order over the years?
Doug, everybody can second guess and be Monday morning quarterbacks, but I think that if in the case of the issue we hear most often is open space, the county spent, you know, $150-160 million in open space and purchasing it. Well, the county did that, but they were carrying out the direction of the voters that the voters gave all of us in 2004, and so that was a voter-approved bond issue. And frankly, it was approved by almost 70% of the voters that participated in that election. So that's a pretty renowning public policy direction. So I think in that perspective, what the county does is follow what its voters want it to do, and that's what we're doing today, and that's what we're going to do in the future. We certainly, you know, no one could have predicted a four-year economic recession that we're in, longest one in history. I've been through a dozen of them in my employment with the county, but this is the toughest, and we are now basically going toward job development and job creation, and that direction and that policy is correct.
Now, Roger, we're going to go back to you. I'm so sorry if we cut you off. Roger, you're back with us. Real quickly, though, please.
No, I read that you say that in the state law under HERF money, it includes SunTran, public transportation and stuff, but I've read it, and were you reading that within the state law that you can use road money for repairing our infrastructure, our roads?
Take a look for a
choo-choo and a SunTran.
Sure, Roger. Take a look at the vehicle license tax statutes. It talks about transportation generically and in general, and it is, in fact, including transit.
Okay, thank you, Roger, for calling. Let's get Sarah in with another final question here.
I just am curious. You work at the direction of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, which is going to...
Always have.
Yes, is going to change some members, at least one, because someone's not running for re-election, come Tuesday. And I'm just curious, what do you do on election night?
Well, I do nothing. I let my elections director and the county recorder conduct an election the way they're supposed to, and you know, I'll either get a call or I'll dial up their election website and take a look at the numbers, typically at about 8:10, 8:15, because by law they're precluded from even releasing any data, and the computers are actually locked. They won't release it until 8:01, and so then I'll find out what everybody else finds out what the results of the election are so far, and then throughout the night we'll continue to look at it. given history, typically by the time we've counted all the early ballots, most races are already decided.
Okay, we're going to leave it right there. Chuck Huckleberry, thanks for spending a half an hour with us on this Friday before the election. And have yourself a great weekend, Mr. Huckleberry.
Thank you, Bill. I will.
Thanks a lot. Coming up now on 1230, Sarah Garrett-Gaston, the star, stays with me in studio, and we'll be joined by Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News, and it's time for the Reporters Roundtable. And of course, there's no shortage of things to talk about today, as usual.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Mitt Romney and President Obama both trying to convince voters that they are the true agent of change in the race, and each one says he's facing a rival who can talk a good game but doesn't have the right policies to deliver. Today's unemployment numbers are getting the expected spins from the presidential campaigns. Mitt Romney says we can do better. President Obama says the numbers show that the economy is slowly improving. Mayor Michael Bloomberg says the New York City Marathon will go on despite storm-related objections to holding the race on Sunday. He says New York has to show that we are here and that we are going to recover. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 123 points. The NASDAQ is off 30. The S&P, 11 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Do you have a family?
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end and publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS. Welcome back to the Friday Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show. Local journalists come in and we talk about the top stories of the week. Joining me today, Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer of the Arizona Daily Star, and Dan Scheer is editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. If you have a comment or question, 790-2040. Is the Buckmaster Show live line. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. This is our last Friday Roundtable before the election, so obviously the election will be content-heavy, Sarah, on election stuff today. Dan, the Senate race, the Congressman Flake, Dr. Carmona getting nasty. Were you at the Sierra Vista event?
No, the company that owns our newspaper also owns Sierra Vista, so we're always in contact with them. But they both made appearances last weekend. They're throwing out words like, you know, disingenuous and out and out liar, and it's getting very. It's a cat fight is really what it amounts to, and it's really they've come down to personalities. And the sad thing is, Bill, is that these are two very good men. They really are. Regardless of your politics, we're talking two very highly qualified guys. And when people call me about this and ask me what I think about this race, I say, hey, it's a shame that one of them has to lose because they're very good. I wish, however, that they would stick to the issues. But the last couple of weeks, things have absolutely just – the wheels have come off both campaigns.
I think that and this is just my mm-hmm. Me looking at how things have been going. But I'm not surprised that things have gotten personal and nasty as we kind of come in toward the final days to the election.
Home stretch,
yes. But I do think that the more shrill a campaign gets, the more combative a campaign gets, and the more just incessant a campaign gets, I think that speaks to the people running the campaign sensing that maybe the assumption that they had made and their lead, that the dynamics are changing. So the way that I read it is that I'm surprised that Flake actually that campaign has gotten as kind of nasty as it has, given that the early polling showed the congressmen so much farther ahead than
with a comfortable lead.
Yeah, and so I think my interpretation of this is that their information or polling must be showing that Dr. Carmona is gaining, and some polls, I believe, even has him mm-hmm. slightly ahead. And
picking up traction.
Right, and I think that's exactly right, and that's why we had Jeff Flake declining to meet as often as Carmona's people would have liked, and now it's neck and neck. It's nice to have a horse race here. It's unfortunate, again, that it's gotten nasty. They are two good men, but I really wish that they would stick to the issues. And we saw this a little bit a couple of years ago with Kelly and Giffords, the same thing. And I have to ask the question, okay, who really is the biggest influence on the direction of the campaign? Is it really the candidate or is it the people behind the scenes in the party? And of course, it is the people who are behind the scenes.
Yeah. Before we – well, the Martha McSally, Ron Barber race, we had Congresswoman she hopes to be Congresswoman McSally. Colonel McSally was on our morning show here on KVOI. I think it was yesterday, maybe
right.
The day before. But I heard her say that the polling in their campaign, Dan, shows that it's close. I mean, 48% or something?
Yeah, she had 48% to his 48.8%. And I checked with her campaign again this morning, and she's going to be on, I think, as Greta Van Susteren this evening. So this one is getting some national attention. Also, they're very confident, of course. She was in Green Valley yesterday. Ron Barber is there as we speak. They want to hit those voters up again. And this is, again, another close one. And it's exciting to have a close race like that. And again, I think you have two very well-qualified candidates. I think they're a little bit more different from each other than Flake and Carmona, but this has been generating tons of interest down where we are.
So many, I should say, such a small pool, Sarah, of undecided, not only in these local races, but in the presidential race as well.
Yeah, I don't quite part of our jobs is we have to be paying attention to this for months and months and months, but I honestly can't figure out how could you not be decided? I mean, how could you not know at this point? How have you been living in a cave somewhere?
Maybe you're just starting to realize there's an election that's coming up. But
in which case, you obviously don't watch TV or listen to the radio or anything else. But so I don't know. I think part of it is I've heard one analysis that I heard was that people aren't undecided. They're just deciding, am I going to go to the polls and vote? And also that the people who are undecided are people who either aren't paying any attention whatsoever or are paying very careful attention and are really watching very closely, in which case the kind of wacky hijinks at the last minute of any campaign almost, it seems, are really not going to sit well with people who are really taking the time to weigh their vote.
And what's interesting, though, that's coming up to early voting and everything, we had some events that I think have caused people to pause. Libya was interesting. We had the debates, which were for the first time in decades, really interesting. And then we also had this hurricane. And I think people were like, well, I want to see how this plays out because unfortunately, things that happened in the last few days can influence people's votes. They should have, I agree, decided eons ago which direction they were going. But I think we've had some events that have caused people to maybe just hold off a little bit.
But also, if you've already voted early and then you're like, crud, you know, you can't change your mind.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and in the old days, used to be there'd be those last-minute mailers. Remember that?
Right.
We called the hit, kind of the hit pieces that would come in your mail.
Oh, absolutely.
Usually the Saturday or Monday right before Election Day, you'd get kind of a hit piece and
We're inundated right now with letters in the last 2 days, and guess what? We're gonna put them online, but we're not gonna put them in print because Sunday is our last day to print before the election, and no new accusations in print.
Yeah, what we're doing at the Arizona Daily Star is we have our letters package, letters to the editor, ready to go for tomorrow. So tomorrow is the day that we go dark because just time wise, if you write something and then there's not enough time to rebut it.
Right.
So after tomorrow, after tomorrow on the editorial pages, you will see no more political local content in terms of letters to the editor, guest opinions. Yep.
And we pretty much rose on Monday. That was the end of it for us with campaign. We did an interview with her about Latino voting from the Morrison Institute. But as far as candidates coming on the radio, we cut it off on Monday, and we had done all of our debates, which, by the way, are all archived at KVOI.com. Sarah, go ahead.
Oh, I just wanted to make one more point that on Sunday, and I'm mentioning this because people have been calling, as I'm sure, Dan, they've called you. We are running the Arizona Daily Star list of endorsements that we've done over the past several weeks, and that will be on Sunday on the editorial pages.
How about early ballots, Sarah, an update?
It's been going stronger than ever, I think. I think some huge percentage of ballots are already in. I know that I enjoyed being able to track and see that my ballot had been processed. But it's important to also know that today is the last day to get your ballot in the mail because it needs to be in the recorder's hands by the end of polling, when the polls close on Tuesday. So the safest course of action is you can drop it off on Election Day. You don't have to wait in line, I don't believe. You can just drop it off and go on your merry way. But please don't hold on to those ballots and try and put them in the mail after today.
Right. Right. A couple of non-election items I want to touch on. Mr. Horn, our Arizona Attorney General Tom Horn, I believe was in court this morning and pleaded not guilty. That was the where Mr. Horn accused of causing about $1,000 worth of damage when he clipped another car in a parking lot. And, of course, the FBI agents who were trailing him happened to see all of this.
You know, I'm going to set the objectivity aside here a little bit, because does this man not know history? You go in there, you're caught red-handed. You're caught almost literally with your pants down. Let's just admit what has happened here and move on. But he is arrogant, and he is looking like a buffoon, and it's only going to get worse for him. You ask him a question, he gives you three or four different answers, and this is all simple. We know what's going on. Own up to it, Tom.
I just have to say, I mean, what kind of political skills does it take to say, oh, I could pay $1,000. That's no big deal. Yeah. For most people in Arizona, it's a really big deal.
That's
so
right.
That was not a smart move among a string of not smart moves.
And you have to wonder what this is doing to Mr. Horn's future political career.
Oh,
he's talked about
absolutely.
Wanting to I don't know if he's talked publicly about it, but a lot of people have said that he wants to be governor. So.
You know, I don't know if he's done, but I think he's definitely in the oven.
He should be done.
Oh yeah, definitely he should be done.
We didn't get a chance to bring up the Vail Incorporation with Mr. Huckleberry. It was on my list, but we just simply ran out of time. There was a meeting this week, Dan, right. About.
Right, and Vail.
Talking about Vail and incorporating.
And Vail is a gorgeous little place. It's east of where I live in Sahuarita, and they have been batting this around for quite a long time. And it's always interesting to us down in Green Valley when people start talking about incorporation, because there have been three or four efforts down there, all failed, and it probably is the hottest topic when it does come up. I have not lived through that. I've been here 4 years, but I tell you, people tell me you don't want to go through it. Incorporation is very, very touchy, but you basically have, you know, three choices. You can be annexed into this city of Tucson, probably, or you can just keep things as they are, or you can become your own town or city. And Vail has to decide what it wants. Becoming your own city, of course, means more taxes, but it means more control over your destiny. So it's an important and very interesting conversation.
I agree. Having covered the annexation effort, the incorporation efforts in Tortolita and Casas Adobes over the years, it is not a fun thing for a community to go through.
Mm-mm.
Sarah, a comment about your op-ed piece on Halloween?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't
time to be on Halloween.
No, it's
content was needed for the paper, regardless of whether it's Halloween, right?
Although I do find the Republican position on the Affordable Care Act somewhat scary, it was not time to be part of that. But basically, my what I'm saying in the piece is that I find it just mind-boggling that the national debate that we have about the Affordable Care Act, healthcare reform, sets up this imaginary existence that never actually was reality, that if we would only go back to the entirely private insurance system, everything would be fine, when in fact the private insurers ration care. It's how the system is built. It's what you don't get everything you want or need. And so I find it very disingenuous when people start talking about unelected bureaucrats and the government deciding what you can get and what you can't get under quote-unquote Obamacare, when that's the system that we've had for many, many, many years. And that's the system that many Republicans, including Mitt Romney, are trying to go back to.
Okay. The opinion of Sarah Garrett-Gasson. Dan, shortly before we went on the air, I had a news release from the Save the Scenic Santa Rita's Association, and basically it says air permit for Rosemont Mine threatens public health and air quality. What's this about?
Well, they are bringing up the same thing that they've actually talked about it before, that the Rosemont's mining plan has changed. It's broadened, and they say we need to start from scratch with some of the certifications. And Raul Grijalva has been beating the same drum. I don't know that it's going to go anywhere. I think they make some good arguments. It's something to listen to, but I don't think it's going to stop the train. And I've said that before. I think Rosemont's going to go through.
You wanted to do a shout-out today, didn't you, Dan?
Let me see.
That was about...
our Sarita Mustangs.
Yeah, you would
carve
out about 15 seconds so you could say something.
Sarita Mustangs, high school football, 10-0. I'm not a football fan, but this has been 10-0. This has been very exciting to watch. And let me tell you this. In March, we had a very tragic accident. A young girl lost her life, and this would have been her first year at the high school. The season was dedicated to her. And so it's very special for lots of reasons. And tonight is their first playoff game.
Well, good. That 10-0. That's amazing.
That's... Awesome. First time in history.
Yeah.
And speaking of shout-outs, a shout-out to the Star reporters. I think there was a team, three reporters today. I was interested to see these big donors. Jim Click didn't surprise me that he was on the list of the top five donors in Southern Arizona politics.
Right. It was.
But there were some other names. I mean, I know Bill Rowe. He's one of the big donors. I didn't realize he had donated that much money, head of the state Democratic Party.
Yeah. And
almost $500,000.
It was a story by Carly Brousseau, who does our computer-assisted reporting, a lot of database stuff for the Star, along with Brady McCombs and Becky Palick, who are two really good reporters covering politics this season. And they found some surprises, people that you wouldn't, you know, you could pick Jim Click and Bill Rowe. They are very visible in their donations.
But there was one name, and I can't pronounce it.
Yes, the NCO family. Hope I'm pronouncing their name correctly. But they have donated a heck of a lot of money to very conservative causes. And I thought that their reasons, it was very much based in their version or their view of morality and religion. And
morally driven reasons.
Yeah, and that was that was a surprise. So it's the story is on azstarnet.com.
It's on the front page of the Star and, of course, on the web. All right. So the day after the election, we're going to devote, of course, the whole show here Wednesday. Sarah's going to be with me. Mark Evans will be talking to some of the folks who have won their election, maybe even some that have lost their election.
Indeed.
But we'll be doing the whole show here. We'll also have an election night program with some of the KVOI personalities Tuesday night from 7 to, I think, 10 or 11. And then Dan Scheer sits in for me Friday. I'm actually taking a day off. And that should be interesting, too. And you'll have plenty to talk about still election stuff.
Awful lot. There we are.
Thanks, both of you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. Bill.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at CoxBusinessAZ.com.
That music, of course, signals the weekend watch with the culinary cruiser Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City. Coming up on Saturday, December the 8th, over in Silver City, it's the New Mexico Tamale Fiesta in downtown historic Silver City. Lots of great places to stay, including Lake Roberts Motel, Bear Mountain Lodge, and Casitas de Gila guest houses. Find out more by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Time now for the culinary cruiser, Matt Russell, who has on his T-shirt with a lobster on the front in honor of a big lobster, 25th anniversary lobster landing fiesta, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, I mean, this is really the true crustacean celebration, as they say, Bill. Countless lobsters are going to be arriving at the Windmill Inn on River and Campbell tomorrow, beginning at 11 o'clock in the morning. For all of our community seafood fanatics, it is the 25th annual lobster landing, and your listeners are going to be able to feast not only on lobsters, but on lobster rolls and clam chowder, crab cakes, even salmon tacos, all prepared by some of Tucson's leading chefs. And of course, every year this event benefits Child and Family Resources. So a rallying cry to all of your listeners to come on out and kick back with a couple of crustaceans for a cause, Bill.
And you know what a lobster tan is. That's the way you look on that first day of June after you've been out by the pool, after you've taken the day off from Russell Public Communication. That's a lobster tan with the culinary cruiser.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah, you done any margaritas lately?
Oh, you know, as you know, last weekend, or for the last weekend watch, we talked about the World Margarita Championship, which brought together 15 of our community's leading mixologists. Well, the judges' votes are in, and the winner is the World Margarita Championship, Ryan Clark of the Lodge on the Desert.
Sure, he does a terrific job over there.
Yeah, I mean, what makes this especially interesting, and not only is he now an award-winning mixologist, he also is the reigning Iron Chef of Tucson.
Oh my goodness! So he's got two crowns on his head.
Two crowns indeed. So I think that makes this my happy hour pick of the day, because you can actually go enjoy one of these now award-winning margaritas at the Lodge on the Desert.
And how about a sip to benefit St. Gregory's?
Yeah, closing out Saturday, an event designed for martini lovers. It's the SIP to benefit St. Greg's. Fun begins on Saturday night at 7 o'clock at Lowe's Ventana Canyon Resort, all built around martini tasting, selection of various international cuisines, both live and silent auctions, of jazz music. How much fun can you have with a martini? You can find out Saturday night at Ventana Canyon. Now, Bill, inquiring minds want to know. This is breaking news here on the Buckmaster Show. Do you like your martinis shaken or stirred?
Stirred, please.
Okay, well, for the equal time rule, I'm a shaker guy.
There you
go. But I'm happy to have a stirred one every now and then.
And don't forget the All Souls procession downtown on Sunday. Should be fun.
Always a great party.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Have a great one.
Cheers.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water, the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. What is it about Culligan? Well, I'll tell you, folks, it simply tastes better. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show, the Dean, a local talk, then Monday morning, 6 to 8, Wake Up Tucson. All the great weekend talk shows begin at 7 a.m. tomorrow. Phil Cedar with the Desert Garden Show. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, my producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a safe weekend. Enjoy it. Be safe out there.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.